I'm Sasheen.
And I'm Dave.
We're married, and this is our love letter to the sport that gave us everything, rugby.
Rugby has always been a huge part of our lives.
It has been there since day one, it is the reason we met, and it has been with us ever since.
This is Love and Rugby,
a podcast about family, club, sport, and our love for all three. Welcome to Love and Rugby. I have to take this opportunity to say that I don't know what was going on last week, but of course we had a back, Chumley, our first guest. So I just want to apologize to him for totally blanking on that. But back to the forwards this week.
Thank heavens. Our next player is a longtime teammate of mine. He was playing for Boston when I showed up. He's very much a Boston dude. And for me, coming from Wisconsin, this guy kind of embodied what people like around here are from. So when I think of a Bostonian, this guy comes to mind. He's a longstanding Boston Rugby Club captain and the recipient of one of the bloodiest head wounds I've ever seen, Brendan Rich. Welcome, my friend.
Thanks, Dave. Welcome. Well, I love the intro.
I would have to say not only the bloodiest, but probably like all of the bloody.
Probably the most, right?
Probably
the most.
Probably, yeah, definitely the most. I mean, it like seemed like it wasn't a rugby game unless you came off with a head wound.
Yeah. And I'll also say you introduced me as a forward, which is accurate, but I wasn't always. I started at Boston Rugby for probably my first 4 years as a center.
I was aware of that.
I had no clue.
Yeah, outside? I was in college too. Yeah. No, inside.
Number 13?
Nope, 12.
No, 12.
Yep. At one point, Dan Master and you had an argument, and then he said something along the lines of, I don't know what the hell that Bridge thinks he knows so much about. He was a center 2 years ago or something like that. So I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was clearly before my time.
It was. I had no choice in the matter when I changed over. Bruce Earl just told me it was happening, and it happened.
And did you go to eight man, center to eight man, or center to flanker?
Flanker. I played mostly six and seven, but I played some eight.
Yeah, I know there was some time. I mean, there was definitely some years where you guys did not have an eight man.
Yeah,
that was me. Where you were filling in. Yeah. So my first question is, what year did you retire?
I would have retired in 2013.
Yeah. Okay. So that puts you to, this is 2012. Okay. Because we were having this debate or the question about Dave's longest running teammate. And you, so if you'd retired 2013, you are his second longest consecutive teammate for his career.
Can you guess who the first is?
Let me guess. Is it McKenzie?
Yeah.
Craig.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just barely.
They came in 08, I think, right?
Yeah. I think either seven. Craig is still active, so he's at 15 years.
He has retired, but then he also told me he would play if Glenn would play, and Glenn said he's playing. So,
all right.
Technically, he's not retired.
If he wasn't playing, I'd have to come back and take
just to get the.
I got to tell you, dude, watching you when you come to train with to run with us in touch, I think you'd come back and play, man. You still got it.
I think the issue would be, Dave, is I feel good when I go up and play touch and run around. I haven't been hit in a long time. I think that would be the issue. And I haven't hit anybody in a long time.
That's what it seems to me. I mean, as an as a just a bystander, that would be the hard part. Like once you retire, coming back is just the like getting beat up aspect.
Yeah.
That seems.
Yeah. I think
English Jack, when he was back, and I think we were inside the bubble doing touch, and he saw you play, and he must not have seen you play for 10 years. He goes, fuck, Brendan Ridge is running exactly the same he's always ran.
Well, maybe that's saying more about what it was like back then. But, I mean, I'm staying fit, that's for sure. And I have to, like, I have the, you know, the reason I quit. I mean, I was getting up there anyways, but I had these hip issues. So that was really the crux of why I ended up stepping away. But it was probably time anyways, even without that. I couldn't.
Yeah. Oh, don't
couldn't,
tell me. About, take me don't talk to me about when it's time. I don't know when it's time.
Yeah. So I have to admit, I haven't done a lot of prep. I'm not sure what I should have prepped for here, but I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we're just going to throw some questions at you, which are a lot of Super League.
Yeah, basically all you need to do is talk rugby. You think you can do that?
I think I can handle that, yeah.
Yeah, there's not much prep work needed.
I'll start off by asking first I'm going to say that when I think of Boston Rugby, I think of you. As we said, you're the second longest of Dave's teammates, and it's just you still show up, you know, to events, and you're at games, so your face is still around, and it just, I mean, you were always, when you played, like, you were such a big part of the game. The head wounds, of course, like.
Yeah, you were always.
Hard to miss those. So, I mean, you're just, like, when I think about Boston Rugby, you definitely, like, come forefront.
Thanks. Yeah, even during the season, like, when you were playing, you didn't miss anything.
Yeah. Well, when I was playing, yeah. It was my life when I was playing. That was actually, I think, the biggest adjustment in retirement was it wasn't just like a hobby, it was like my identity, right? And it was
right.
Yeah,
it's tough to step away from that.
3 days a week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a big commitment. I felt like I owe it to the club, right? The club afforded me a lot of opportunity. I owed it to be at everything, and it's part of your identity. And when you step away, there's a big void. Luckily when I stepped away, it sort of coincided with us having a child. So I was able to fill that space with some busy time. But it's tough to step away. Eventually you're going to do it, I think. I don't know. Maybe you're not. It's tough. It's tough to sort of not identify in that way anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you were one of the guys who, when you stepped away, you disappeared for a while. You couldn't be around it. And I understand that.
There's no way I could have been. Yeah.
And it goes back to what Sash Eden said. You embodied Boston rugby, and you're such a Boston dude.
Yeah.
Like, you just radiate East Coast Boston from just looking at you from across the bar. Someone would know that.
I'll take it as a compliment. I don't know if I'm going to.
Take it however you want, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who won't take that. Who wouldn't consider it.
Yeah. So my first question is, how did you come to rugby? When did you start playing?
Yeah.
How did you find it, get interested in it, all of that?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story. So baseball was my thing growing up. I went to the University of Hartford for baseball. I was recruited there to play baseball.
Catcher.
I was a catcher, yep. Yeah. There was a guy there named Mo Morehart who recruited me, and the freshman recruiting class got there, we were all surprised. No one knew that he had retired in August leading up to us arriving.
Okay.
He just didn't tell any of us. So they brought in a new guy. His name was Jim Bretz. He came in from, I think he was coaching somewhere in Missouri prior, and he decided he wanted to bring in a lot of his own people. So I sort of languished a little bit. I got a little bit of playing time my freshman year, sort of almost like a redshirt year. Sophomore year, it wasn't going well. And I went to a rugby game because I knew a few people who played. And it came time for the B-side game, and I played in the B-side game, and I loved it. But news got back to my Division I baseball coach that was playing rugby on the side, and that was the end of my baseball career. At the time, you know, the rugby program at the University of Hartford wasn't great. I think there were probably 19 of us on the team when I first joined. We struggled, of course, with 19 people. You're trying to field two teams. But over the time I was there, we did really well. We won state the New England championships when I was a senior. And I decided then that it was something I really wanted to do, and I wanted to do it at a higher level. And then when I was getting out of college, I had some choices. I went and practiced a little bit with the Wolfhounds. It wasn't really my style. Wanted to play at the top level possible. I had come and watched a Super League game the year before when I was a senior in college. And I said, well, if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it at the best place in town. So I went and played for Boston. And I think so that would have been September of 98. We had a huge recruiting class that year. A bunch of us all came in. There must have been 30 of us coming in at once.
Oh, wow.
Into Boston.
Yeah. And I couldn't sniff the field. I couldn't get out of in a third side game. I just, you know, I'd pay my dues. I'd, you know, show up, practice, do everything I needed, but I don't know. I wasn't breaking through. And then I sort of had my chance a little bit later, got through and, you know, started working my way up through the sides, and the rest is history.
That's awesome. So you, at Hartford, you just went to watch a game.
Yeah.
And then you're like, all right, I'll jump in.
Did they let you play any baseball after that B-side game, or were you
it? It was over. Yeah.
That was it. So you played one B-side game, you got kicked off the baseball team, and then you're a rugby guy.
Yeah, I wasn't getting any playing time anyway, so I didn't really see yeah. anyone doing it, right?
Yeah.
That's
and,
amazing.
You didn't know anyone at Boston when you came?
No. You know, it's a funny story. So when I mentioned I came when I was a senior in college, it was Easter weekend. Me and a handful of my friends came up to watch KC play Boston over at Franklin Park. And my college roommate was a guy named Mike Rotella. A bunch of guys on the team have met him since, but he's a guy named Mike Rotella. He was with me that weekend. He stayed at my mother's house. He was from New Jersey. We went to the game, and afterwards we started chatting with some of the guys in the bar. I remember Bill Eaton was there. But Mike's father was one of the charter members of the Boston College rugby program.
Oh,
and so we found out that day that I met Ken Daly, and found out that Ken Daly had coached his father.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's amazing.
Ken Daly's been around Boston College rugby forever, right?
Yeah, I mean he coached the inaugural team.
Oh wow!
You see, so I Ken Daly was the extent of who I knew of Boston at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
funny.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then I love that just like coming, you wanted to play at the highest level, didn't know anybody. And then like you just became such a fixture to the club.
After you switched from center to flanker, was that it? Or would you have gone back if given the choice?
I wouldn't have gone. Well, I did go back from time to time just to fill a role, right?
Out of necessity.
Yeah, when we needed it, but I preferred being in. I just found more work as a flanker. I'd much prefer to do it. But it was fun to go back once in a while and play that, you know, play in the back.
So. Not have to work so hard.
Yeah, take a day off.
Yeah, tucking behind. That's not quite what that means, is it?
No.
Yeah.
And so then I'm guessing this, because you went to Hartford, you got then like a bunch of Hartford guys came to Boston.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, there was a gap there though. Like after I came, no one came. And then when I was, much older. We got like Regal and Jamal and Zach, a few others. I think there's a couple of them playing for the team now, actually.
I do feel Kareem? Like someone said that.
Maybe.
Kareem?
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Maybe.
I mean, he's one of your teammates.
Yeah.
Whether we know he was playing for Hartford or not.
He was playing for North Shore and he just swapped over.
Yeah. He's a Hartford guy. You may not have known it. Yeah.
No, I did not know that. You were telling me. You were asking me. You were telling me.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if he was. I wasn't because I had seen him with the
training. Yeah. Kareem is playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So he was like the Regal era at Hartford.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hartford. All right. Super League stories, dude. What do you think was your favorite Super League city to travel to?
Ooh. Favorite Super League city to travel to. Can I give my top three?
We always had fun in Charlotte.
I'll choose a favorite, but I'll give my top three.
Yep.
Chicago. I always liked Chicago. Chicago was a lot of fun, although we had a couple big wins there, but we had a tough times there as well. Chicago. Charlotte's a lot of fun. Yeah, maybe Charlotte. Although I wouldn't expect that out of all the cities we went to, that'd be the best, but we had a lot of fun there, so I'll give you Charlotte.
Charlotte, we had the same places that we went to, like the Buckhorn or whatever.
Yep, that was a good spot. And then I love San Diego. I don't know, did you make it to many San Diego trips?
Only one, if I did at all. I remember a couple of California trips way early on.
There was a San Diego.
Who would we have played? Would that have been?
On back,
yes. Mm-hmm. I traveled out to play on back.
Yeah. Was that the one where there was a bit of a bar brawl that spilled out into the streets?
Yeah. I think that happened before I was around.
Yeah.
That was or I wasn't there for the brawl. I remember hearing about it.
Yeah. San Diego was good because we'd always go to like the Pacific Beach area.
The problem with San Diego that I recall was we went out to play on back. And we got smoked.
So, yeah, it was the same with Belmont Shore. It was a lot of fun going to LA, but they were a tough team to play against.
I never went to Belmont, played at Belmont Shore. I never played them, actually.
So there was the period, Super League period, where you were just traveling everywhere.
Yep.
And then they like reorganized it and sort of made the East Coast and West Coast divisions, right? So
I mean, they reorganized it a couple of times.
I think a lot of the West.
Yeah, because I'll tell you my favorite city. Chicago is up there, mostly because of my buddy Dorf.
Yeah.
Charlotte was always good, but I never really went out with you guys because I usually hung out with my sister.
Okay.
Because she was always there.
Yeah.
We had some real Aspen was fun.
I wasn't sure you made it to Aspen. Aspen was a blast.
I've been to Aspen a couple times. I ended up sleeping on the hospital room floor crying because Andy McLean was – or no, Rob Noxious was in the hospital.
Yeah.
I was emotional at that time.
That was that was another one where you enjoyed the trip, but the game was
– not the rugby.
Not the rugby. Or the cost. Or the cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I remember we had some real good times in Dallas.
Dallas was good. DC was good.
DC was good too, yeah.
We used to go to, what was the name of the bar we used to always go to?
Oh, it's the one that you go down the stairs. I wouldn't know the name of it.
So it was in a region of DC called Adams Morgan. And the name of the bar was Madam's Organ.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that was a good one. I was a big fan of that name.
Do you remember the Arrowhead game to Kansas City?
Yep.
Where my buddy Joe Hansen was playing reserve for us. We ended up at a house party that had a goat in walking around the house.
Yes. Do you remember the goat's name?
No.
Milkshake.
Adams Morgan?
Milkshake.
Milkshake?
And the goat was And it's not like the goat was like a pet, an outdoor pet. It was in the house. Like,
yes.
It was an indoor pet.
It was eating beer cans. Like, you finish a beer can, you just hand it to the goat.
So
you've got a much better memory than I do.
We need to talk about, because this was one thing I wanted to ask you guys about, because that's a pretty big deal. Like, you guys got to play in Arrowhead Stadium. So talk about that a little bit.
The thing I remember most about Arrowhead Stadium was I was wearing number 8, and I remember getting heckled, and the guy kept yelling, "Hey, number 8, you suck. Hey, number 8, you're soft. Hey, number 8, this girl thinks you're hot. Hey, number 8, you suck." I was like, yes. She thinks I'm hot.
The one thing you heard.
I thought where you were going with that story was you were going to say you were used to wearing a 4 or 5 and you totally forgot you were wearing number 8.
You thought they were talking about it.
No, I knew it. He was cutting me to the bone, but then he built me up with a – he didn't need to tell me the girl thought I was hot. But he did.
He did. Well, and there were like 5 people watching the game, right? Like, there weren't very many people there.
It was
– there were a lot of people there, but I mean that stadium was –
It's an NFL stadium.
It's a 70,000 person stadium. If you put 1,000 people in, it's still going to look empty. You know,
I think we had like 500.
Yeah, yeah.
Tops.
Yeah.
All you could hear was this guy yelling at you.
Well, yeah, I remember that very clearly in Arrowhead.
Yeah.
I also remember the warm up. We had a warm up in the ramp.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, which sucked because they had the. The MLS game going on first, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And I remember, like, for all the hype, I didn't think the turf was all that great. I remember, like, the turf giving way when we were trying to scrummage and stuff. And, of course, like, the most memorable part of that game, or I guess the aftermath of that game, was after the pictures came out.
Pictures.
It was a picture of Jimmy Coyle, who was getting tackled and falling back. And obviously just opted not to wear anything under his rugby shorts that day. And you could see everything.
Full package. Full package.
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
Spread eagle.
It was posted somewhere, right?
Like, yeah. It was on our, you know what? Well, it wasn't, like, it was just posted with the rest of the pictures and no one realized. People actually started looking at it and saying, "Oh shit, we got to pull this one down."
Oh my God. How
I couldn't even tell you the outcome
of
the game.
How can you play rugby?
I don't know.
I mean,
yeah.
He's a gypsy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he was.
He don't care. Yeah, he just got tackled. So he's like kind of rolling over with his legs spread. It was just an awkward picture. And then you throw in Jimmy James Jr.
Yeah. It was a great picture. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we lost that game.
We lost. Well, yeah. It was a close one, but we lost it. I think I remember they scored with a little bit of time, not a lot of time left, and that put it out of reach for us. It was fun, though. Cool experience. But
it was fun. Like I said before, we had my buddy from Wisconsin, Joe Hansen, as I think he was our second or third sub. I think he was wearing number 17.
Oh, really?
He had played like 2 semesters of very small college town, Iowa college town rugby.
Right.
and he was on the, he did get on the pitch, but he was there.
Yeah. Just
to well, and me, I remember, needed. I remember the lead up to that game and you didn't think you were going to have 15. And that's why you even called them and said, "Could you come?"
Yeah.
Then you were like pleasantly surprised to know that like, it was you had called him with the expectation that he was going to be playing 80 minutes. Yes. So it was like a pleasant surprise to know that you actually had a full 15 to go.
I don't recall who was coaching us back then.
Trying to remember what year that was. If you had, I feel like that was a player coach situation.
I remember
maybe Andy?
Mikey Kelleher was playing 7.
Yeah.
And he didn't play for us for long. I want to say maybe Chuck.
Nah.
Chuck Ninja.
Right.
The Ninjin.
I don't remember. I remember getting but a day.
But either way, I kind of doubt that if the coach made the trip.
I feel like it was maybe it was Andy.
It wasn't the first trip that Boston Rugby Club made without a coach, making the trip.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that was a good one, though. It was fun. I liked Kansas City.
You guys didn't play them. They weren't in for that long, as I recall. Like, there were not a lot of Kansas City trips. Was there?
I want to say maybe two.
They're one of the originals in the Super League. They dropped out probably, I don't know, call it 2010 or something. But you guys.
Oh, okay.
So you probably have a memory of many more Super Different. League seasons after I did.
Yeah. What was your favorite team to play? Super League team to play.
That's a good one.
Wow. Like a specific year or like just in general?
Like your favorite team, whatever reason, whether it was the most fun, the most competitive, the most like you wanted to win.
Yeah.
Just something that like you always looked forward to playing this team.
This is going to sound like a weird answer because we didn't have a lot of success, but I always liked playing against Life. I always found it a good challenge. We always kept it close. It was always a battle. Not always kept it close. We had a few blowouts, but we always had a real battle with them. And it was always like, okay, it's a good measuring stick for us. So I liked playing them. I don't think I have a very good record against them, although I have beaten them.
Hang on. You beat Life?
Yeah.
When was that?
That had to be...
Before my day.
02, 03, something like that. So we were down at Life. This was back when they were playing, you know, the stadium up top from where they play now?
Yeah.
They used to play up there. We played them up there, and it came down to, I think this was one of my first Super League games ever. So it would have been, maybe it would have been 01. One of my first Super League games ever, definitely one of the first that I traveled for. And we beat them with, I think we were down a man and no time on the clock. They had a kick and they missed it.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was
So you were playing with Jason Trenuth because he claimed that he was.
Yeah. Jason and I that night.
He always bragged about beating Life.
That night, Jason and I ended up, we were staying in the big, you know, everyone's together in the hotel rooms, four people per room. Jay and I were out. We went nuts that night. Everyone went nuts because we won that night. And Jason and I were walking by a room and it was open and there was no one in it. And we just started like, they had a mini bar. They had movies. We started ordering movies. We just hung out there for the rest of the night and then like woke up in the morning and left. But the next day. So this is when we had like two contingents. We had our Boston contingent and then we had, well, actually maybe three because we had Dominic Tracy who had come down from Portland and we had the newbies who would come in from Rhode Island. And everyone went so crazy that night that we missed our flight. So we got to the airport and we realized we missed our flight. We have to figure out how to scramble and get on flights. And it was daylight savings. You know, we turned the clocks back that night. The newbies were in the bar at the airport waiting for their flight that was in an hour. And they started laughing at us and making fun of us and, you know, giving us a bad time because we missed our flight. So once they're done making fun of us, we start talking to them a little bit. And turns out through talking to them, we figured out that they didn't realize that the time had changed.
The time changed.
And they're sitting there making fun of us. Just
so they missed their flight too.
You had to make fun of them.
Yeah.
I tell you what, there was something very special about, you know, playing rugby with a bunch of guys who you really like and doing two trips where you are on a plane in a hotel playing a serious game of rugby and hanging out with the dudes.
It was
something really cool about it.
It's amazing. Like when I tell people, like I'll talk to people at work and then I'll explain what it was like for, what was it, 15 years of my life where You finish work on Friday, you take off with 22 of your best friends to some city, go play a game of rugby together, go out that night and come back together. It was, you know, no one's had any type of experience like that. It's amazing. And it's, you know, it makes for lifelong friendships. You know, I went to, you know, I went to South Africa. I met up with some folks. I went to, Muzza contacted me the other day because his boss was in town and wanted me to meet up with him for drinks. Like, you have friends all over the world and they're lifelong friendships that you've forged because.
Oh, we're going to
real quick, you know,
we're going to England to introduce English Jack's mother to her namesake, Nibba.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this summer.
That'd be cool.
I know. And it's like not lifelong friendships and these people that when would you ever in your life ever meet them?
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for.
Yeah. When the hell would you and I meet each other? You know, you're some hoity-toity finance guy and I'm out here in the field.
See, he doesn't even know that I'm not a finance guy.
Well, what do you do then?
I sell software. I lead software sales teams.
What?
Yeah.
Have you always done that?
No, I was in finance a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
See. All right.
When I a little bit before I retired, I went into software sales and then I went to Microsoft. And that's really what, when I went to Microsoft, I realized I didn't have time for this. So I didn't have time for the rugby. And it was time anyways, but I knew that there were going to be a lot more demands on my time. So I sort of coincided.
It was all the perfect storm of things coming together.
Yeah.
But now can you go to watch the games and not feel like I wish I was in, or do you still have that feeling when you're watching?
Yes and no. So here's what I'll say. I can go to the games and realize it's not possible for me to be in there. Like it's not a part of my life anymore. It's not, but to Dave's point, like I feel like I could still play. So it's, you know, it's a little bit like I would have done that differently. I should be out there.
If I was out there, we probably would have won.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's, I can't do it. I at times I've helped Joe Dolan, Coach Milton. That helps get it out of my system a little bit. I'd like to do more of that. I'm just, schedule's not really allowing for that. But it's definitely still in my blood. It's something I want to do, and I'll probably continue to pursue it when my time opens up a little bit more.
Back to the favorite team to play.
Oh yeah, I didn't.
Because I like that answer. I like life.
What was yours? Is that your answer?
That's not my answer. My answer is Old Blue. I think when I showed up, Boston and Old Blue had a very good rivalry going. They always had a really big pack, and they were Old Blue was like the team when in the preseason when I was lifting and hitting the gym, I would think about playing Old Blue.
Yeah.
And that's what motivated me to work out. So I think Old Blue is probably my favorite. But I love the life answer because I think my favorite game of all time ever played was a loss against Life down there. So I totally understand.
The one that would have been – we would have gone to the championship if we won that one?
No, this was down in – this was a Super League game in at their pitch.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah. When they scored.
You guys played a semifinal game.
I forgot. I even forgot that was a playoff game.
Yeah,
that was probably my top game. And I totally understand that life would be the team you'd want to, your favorite team to play against. And I would say that my favorite opponent was Murderface.
Yeah. You guys had some good battles. Plus, it's a great name.
Yeah.
You do have the unique, because I wanted to ask Brendan that question, but I was just thinking you really have sort of a unique experience in that being a jumper, like you really were going head to head against people
in
a different way than a lot of the other positions, right? Like,
yeah, I think the other, you know, the position that obviously would trump that would be prop scrummaging.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Going head to head.
Literally head to head.
Yeah.
Hooker, does Hooker count? No.
I think the props take a little more you know, enjoyment out of the one-on-one battle against their opposite number.
Yeah, I agree. On the flanks, you don't, you're sort of going after first receiver more than whoever your opposite number is.
Right. And you think about the good, it's hard to pick a favorite team to play against. Like Charlotte was always, was always a rock fight, and we had a lot of success against them. NIAC was always special because they thought they were so good at rugby.
They were.
and they were. It's interesting, you know, how you get develop relationships with teams. Playing against them long enough.
So then let me ask about how those guys compare to the Wolfhounds. Because I know the Wolfhounds were in the Super League for a bit, but you also have that big rivalry. Was it still for you, like, life still felt better than playing them?
Yeah, I mean, we got into it a lot with the Wolfhounds. Like, there was a lot of, there was a lot of extracurricular in those games and that type of stuff. I never felt like, I guess there were a few years where they were like really good, but I never felt like they were like a measuring stick for us to play against. Like, you know, where I would really.
Life was without a doubt the measuring stick we played against. The Hounds were fun. That was a good local match. We played them more often. When they were in the Super League, that was special. I mean, one special game against them in Cambridge.
The one at MIT?
That
was a good one. There was a lot of extracurricular in that game.
It does seem like you're right about pretty much every time you play them, there's a lot of.
But it's fun. Afterwards,
you. It's fun to watch.
What about, are we going to talk best? Are you going to talk favorite wins?
Oh, yeah. Give it to us.
So, a few of them. I think, so the Division III Nationals was a good run. But the most notable win was when we were in Wisconsin.
And Milwaukee.
The craziest part about that is just the whole circumstances surrounding it. Our flight got delayed. We somehow rallied and got these vans together, got down to the field, and this team, the Harlequins, came over and we're getting dressed, and their top concern is that we're sending Super League people to the game. And so we're like, obviously panicking, and they've given us like 10 minutes to get ready or we're going to forfeit. We're getting ready, and then they're coming over and like demanding our IDs, and the rest coming over demanding our IDs, and we're just giving them paperwork and IDs and stuff. And he goes, okay, do you want to check theirs? And we're like, no, we're good. And we went out and played them. I broke my ankle in the game, actually.
Oh my gosh.
We finished a man down. We won 6-5 on a last minute kick from Buddha. We all pile back in the vans. I don't know if I should tell the story right here, but we all pile back in the vans. We stop at this place called the Brat Shop, Brat and Cheese Shop, which is, somewhere in Wisconsin. It's the only place you find a Brat and Cheese Shop. Wolfie wanted to go there. So we went there and we realized we spent way too much time there. We're going to miss our flight. So we all pile back in the vans. Sean Spaulding's got a bottle of Jim Beam. We're all drinking beers and everything. And we realized we don't have time to stop. So everyone's peeing in water buckets, water bottles and all this stuff. We get to the airport. And to this day, I don't think we returned the vans. It was literally like we just pull over.
Jumped out.
Pull up to the airport.
Everyone pulled over, got out. And they held the flight for us because there were 22 of us. They are 20-something of us. They held the flight for us, and not only that, when we got there, this is you know, got to remember, this is like 2 years before, or a year before 9/11, I guess. Probably about a year before.
Yeah, 2000. So, 2000, yeah.
So there's none of this, none of these regulations. They actually said, so we're going to give the back of the, get the back of the plane to the rugby team. And everyone else, please move to the front of the plane unless you feel like sitting with the rugby team. So we get on the
plane. That's amazing.
One girl stayed back there. And we get on the plane, and like I said, I got a broken ankle. I'm just trying to like numb the pain. I'm drinking in my seat, and some people fell asleep, some people stayed up. But we start coming into a landing, and it was Spalding, I think. Yeah, we start coming into a landing, and I see Spalding shoot up like he had been asleep, and he shot up. I'm like, uh oh, he's like diagonally in front of me on the next row. And he's frantically looking for a sick bag.
Oh,
he grabs, no. He grabs something out of the back of the seat. He goes to throw up. Well, it was the trifold directions of what to do. So he had it like this and threw up right into his mouth.
Oh, my God.
And that was our landing. And that was it.
My God.
And that was the, like, semifinals to that national championship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you are a national champion, but I assume you didn't play in the final game.
I couldn't with the broken ankle. No.
So that, oh, all right. Amazing. So you go, you break your ankle in this game. You don't go to the hospital.
First time I played flanker.
My gosh. Yeah. And so you just go, like, broken ankle to the airport, get on an airplane. When did you go to the hospital?
I went to Newport the next day because the Super League team was playing Golden Gate in Newport at Fort Adams.
Yes.
With a broken ankle. I didn't go to the – I had like a brace on or something.
Oh,
finally, I think I saw Jason there. He's like, that's broken. You got to go.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I went to the hospital the next day.
That's, oh my gosh, what a story. So, did you ever have ankle problems after?
No.
Or was it was fine?
Yeah, it was fine. Hip problems were my issue. So that was, yep. I just like that story. That's like a good
thing. Yeah.
And it led to something, which is good. I think,
yes.
I think my favorite wins in the Super League were, well, that early life win was cool because it was like one of my first exposures to the Super League.
Yeah.
And we got a good win. That was a big one. And then I like in 2008 when we beat Denver.
That was a great game.
So the one here, not the following
part,
one, the one here where I remember I used to have to do all these interviews leading up to Super League games with Alex Goff and all them. And they were
Yeah, because you were captain at that time.
Yes. And they were. It was always like, you know, do you think you have a chance against this team? Because Denver was so good. And they had, I think they had 8 Eagles on their starting 15. So they came and, I mean, it wasn't even close. I remember after the game getting everyone together and I was supposed to say something. I was just like, I didn't think it was going to be that easy.
I remember that exactly. Yeah. You stand in the middle of us. Take your scrum cap off, and we all think you're going to say something real emotional. You're like, I didn't think it'd be that easy. And we're like, yeah.
Yeah,
we rolled them.
I felt like that was a special team that year.
You're right.
That was the first year we had that good recruiting class with, like, McKenzie's and Kyle Marshall and
Brennan. And B-more.
Tony, all them. So it was just a really special team that year. And that win was amazing. The one against Chicago Griffins it was freezing, and it was at Madison.
James Madison.
That was, we had like a 25-minute goal line stand.
I
was just going to say that. I think that was the first game of the season. And this was coming off you guys – just pretty much getting like trounced all the time.
Yeah.
And I was at the game and I like wasn't really, I mean, I'm like half paying attention, like just kind of expecting like the same old of you guys getting your butts kicked. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, they're holding this line. And then it just kept going and going and going. And I was like, what? And then it was like that the rest of the season. Like, you guys had so many goal line stands that season.
We didn't get beat.
I remember making a tackle on their big number four and being involved in the pile. And this was, I mean, this was towards the end of the game, and we were up by less than a try. And we'd been with our asses to the goal line for a long time.
Yeah.
And I was down there, and I was sitting there face to face at the bottom of the ruck with them. And I hear the crowd go wild, and I smiled. I go, oh, that sounds good for us. I looked up, and the ball was all the way down into the past midfield, and I think Marcus or Derek chased it down and tackled the guy, and it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and I remember. So my most memorable play in that game was Muzzle was playing for that team. And he had a break for the goal line, and I tackled him. I was like, you know, me and Buzzer are good friends, but he was never going to let me live it down if he got in and won the game for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Chase him down and tackle him. That was fun. But that was an amazing game. You know, that team, that was the second game of the year because we had played Old Blue to a tie.
And Marshall,
it was Marshall's first game with us ever, and we gave him a shot at goal at the end, and he
hit
the grounder, which is understandable. Like, it was 21 years old, you know, on the line. But we tied that game, and then
– and that was at Old Blue.
Yeah, yeah.
That one was there, yeah. So it was your first home game, yeah.
And then, you know, we went on to unbeaten that year, but we hit some injuries in the, you know – Glenn blew out his knee or ankle, maybe ankle.
Ankle.
Yeah.
Yep. Playoff game.
We started strong too. And I know we were unbeaten, but we started strong and beat the tough teams. And then we tied against Philadelphia, I think.
No, it was Pack.
Pack, it's a bit disappointing of an end of the season.
Well, you were undefeated, but a lot of them were ties. It wasn't like you were undefeated by winning them all.
Yeah, we tied to Pack in Old Blue. And Dave, do you remember why we would have lost that Pack game if it wasn't for one play? Do you remember the play?
Delcourt?
No.
Oh.
It was the end of the half, and we were sort of threatening their goal line. And a penalty got called against us. And most of the team had like figured they were kicking out of bounds, half was over, and they started walking away. And you went and covered the goal line, or you covered the sideline, caught it in the air, and passed it down to me, and I scored.
Oh, I wish I could remember that.
Half the team was like ready to get off the field.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Man.
I tell you what, that team really sticks out in my mind because our pack was undersized, but we were gritty. We had a Huey, who was the other prop? Jerry. I forget who it was.
I think we had Tony that year, right?
Yeah, you're probably right. We were very undersized.
Craig,
but our pack
Craig,
was
Huey and Tony, and then you and, I don't know.
Will. You and Will.
Yeah.
Because Tony and Will came at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, and then
probably Tyler was there.
I remember for that Denver game, Eugene brought in that 8-man from Canada that I played with once.
Yeah, Tappy.
Yeah. But anyway, we were undersized and we were playing against bigger packs, and our packs always dominated.
Yeah.
But as soon as the ball went out to the backs, it was like I remember laughing because it was Glenn McKenzie, Dan Christie,
Arsenio,
Duran,
that was the year
Arsenio
was there too.
And those guys,
Derek.
The back line just came up and crushed their back line anytime the ball went out to them.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Kyle, yeah. It was so, I mean, as a spectator, it was such a fun season. Bojo, was that the year? Was that the year he came?
Yeah, I think so.
We had like Glenn and Bojo and Dan Christie, three of the best tackling backs that I've ever played with.
Yeah, you got to put Nino in there.
Oh yeah,
he was a great tackling back.
Yeah, but it's like the ball never even got out that far.
I don't think Nino was playing that year. I'm just saying he's one of the best tackling backs I've seen.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Definitely.
I feel like he maybe had retired by then.
Yeah.
Right.
He was,
but as a spectator after like so many seasons, and I do think that was Eugene's first year.
I think it was the second. I think he was the second.
Second year, okay.
Because he was a big part of the recruiting we were doing. He needed a year to recruit them all.
Yeah. But so it was like season after. I mean, it was pretty much from when Dave and I started dating, which was 2004, of just like loss. After, I mean, I don't think you guys even won a game. I mean,
there were seasons against, where like, Yamaskeg, there were seasons like, where we were playing the Super League for the spring, and we were playing D1 New England League for the fall, and we were under 500 in the fall.
Yeah,
and. So we were the whipping boys of the Super League for a while before Eugene showed up.
Yeah. So then to go from that to like you guys, I mean, it was so dynamic. They were so fun. It was so much energy. That was a great year.
Yeah. Like I remember Chuck Dedinian's warm up, motivational speech before the game. Well, their number one is so and so, and he's better than us. And their number two is this and this, and he's really better than. Our number two, and their number three is he's an eagle, and he's really better than his upset number. And he went through it, and we're all sitting there like
every single.
Oh
position.
Man, we got to go play this team now.
Well, and it was so fun to watch because I mean Eugene, like forget about even watching the game, just watching Eugene on the sideline was entertainment in itself.
Yeah.
It's surprising his heart's still ticking.
I don't know. Maybe it isn't. We haven't heard from him about that.
Well, yeah, you've been trying to get
I
in
have
touch
been trying
with
to get a hold of him.
Yeah, he'd be an interesting guest.
Yes. Yeah. I guess any other Super League questions?
Do you have anything you want to share with us, Richie?
Anything I want to share with you?
Any other good memories? You've had some good ones.
Yeah, I mean, it was good.
I was just gonna say, like going back to your airplane story, there was one year, like my sort of one free year, where I went to all those Super League games, all the travel, and it was always very fun to see who was gonna make it to the airport. Yeah. And who was going to miss the flight. And then, like, you guys, like, rolling beers down the aisle because it was not the entire team in one spot.
Yeah.
And so you'd, like, roll beers down the aisle to each other in the airport. Like, it was definitely, like, the rest of the flight was like, oh, my God, what did I just walk into?
Yeah.
I remember hearing a story about Scotty Dunmore. They were going – to a Super League trip, and this is before my day, and someone made pot brownies for the trip out there, and Scotty was standing in security with his arms spread out, and he had they're like, empty your pockets, and the TSA guy's doing this wand in him, and he's got the bag of pot brownies in one of his hands. All right, sir, go on through.
Oh, that's hilarious.
The good old days.
I don't know if I have anything to leave you with. I just... Hell of an experience, you know. I would
remember it forever.
Never get it back, but I'm glad we did it.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's just, you know, I see it as, you know, this team made things possible for me that, or this club made things possible for me that never would have been possible. I like to try to give back any chance I can. It's painful sometimes to be there and watching and not being able to be a part of it, but you know, it's a real special club, and I'm glad we all got to be a part of it.
Yeah. Agreed, man.
All right. So at the very end, we just need to ask you for your first 15.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that Dave started off calling me a real Bostonian because I embraced it for this. Because what I did is I made a first 15 out of Boston sports legends.
Awesome.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So how do you do this?
So just go 1 through 15. Just right. Run through them.
All right. Number one is Vince Wilfork. It would be impossible to process. So my front row is Vince Wilfork, Teddy Bruschi, and Richard Seymour, which would be a difficult front row to play against. And while it may seem that I'm going football heavy, I wanted to be careful not to go too football heavy because it would be very easy to just go best rugby team. Possible with football players, but
yeah,
and that front row are full of really good teammates. I think like good,
yeah, Absolutely.
Sports-minded yeah. athletes.
Absolutely. All right, so that's my front row. Kevin Garnett and Bill Russell are second row. And I realize there's probably others who should be in there, but I really went also with my favorites.
Yeah.
Kevin Garnett's one of my favorites. I have David Ortiz on the blind side. Definitely wouldn't be a good rugby player, but I can't leave him out because he's one of the
players. Sentimental.
Yeah. Rodney Harrison's open side. Gronk is number 8.
Oh yeah.
Now nine was the most difficult one because I was thinking I could go with Edelman, Wes Welker. I could have gone with probably Troy Brown. There's a lot of good potential nines, but I went with Doug Flutie from BC.
Oh,
he's the only person. Like that. Only in addition to I think he'd be a good nine. He's also the only person to ever kick a drop goal in an NFL game, and I was there for it.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Me and Koski were there for it, actually. Now, 10's controversial because everyone's going to expect Brady, but I put Bird there because he makes everyone he plays with better, and he's got great, I guess you call it court vision, but field vision.
And I imagine he'd be a tough son of a bitch, too.
Yep. I got Edelman at 11. In the centers, I had to go with legends. They're not people that I watch. I had a chance to watch, but I had to put Ted Williams and Bobby Orr in the centers. Randy Moss on at 14 and Tom Brady at 15.
Oh, I thought Tom Brady wouldn't make it.
No, I have to put
Who's your coach?
Belichick.
Of course. Very talented team. I would say probably going to be full of a bunch of cheaters.
Probably, you know, yeah.
Boston sports.
not cheating, not trying.
You can't through.
Yeah.
That's great, man. That's interesting because we did Sean Tracy's interview yesterday and he did top first 15 Boston Celtics.
Oh, because I almost did it.
Yes.
If the Celtics had won, I would have gone. Yeah. I would have done that, but they didn't win.
That would have been interesting to hear.
Yes. The comparison. See, yeah. Would have been. Yeah. That's great. I love that. So like you must have been a kid for the Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
Game.
Yep.
Or like teenager, right?
No,
like he was before Brady.
Doug Flutie, that, you know, the big game against Miami when he was at BC, I think that was like 1984.
Okay.
I was 8.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I wasn't, I followed him, but I wasn't a big fan. But I always
was it. Him. Wait. So that drop goal was when he was at BC.
Oh no! The drop goal. Was
no. Okay.
At the tail end of his career, he played for the Patriots.
Okay.
And he was probably 42 years old.
Yeah.
And it was garbage time. Brady was out of the game. It was against Miami, and he kicked a drop goal with 30 seconds left.
Oh, so cool!
Yeah.
I didn't even know that you could do that in football.
Well, a lot of people don't.
That was allowed.
A lot of people don't. But, most people, even in football, don't know. But Belichick knows all these loopholes. And he actually commented on it. He thought it was really cool because he'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's a great first 15. And again, you're just reeking of Boston-ness.
Yes.
So he did not disappoint at all.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm going to take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, as I thank said, you. Like, thank I think you. Of Boston, I think of you. So we had to have you on.
I promise myself I'm not going to cry.
I'll see. I know I'll see you soon. Thanks. Bye. Have a good one.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. We'll see
all
you.
All right. Up. Thanks, Brendan. Bye.
Wow.
so good. I mean, those stories, and you know that he could just like keep going on with the stories.
Yeah,
like he's got a million of them, and he clearly remembers them all.
Meticulous memory.
That memory was amazing.
Yeah, I reckon if I had his memory, I could go on a little bit longer.
Yeah.
What a good guy. What a good teammate.
I mean, we mentioned it. We didn't go into detail, but I mean, I really think it was almost every game that he came out blood sub with a head injury.
Yeah, he liked to get his head banged up.
They were never serious. I mean, for those who don't know, they bled a lot, yeah, as the head does. And so it always looked really bad. But
and for anyone who doesn't know him out there, he's really a handsome guy.
He is the Ray Liotta of Boston rugby, right?
Exactly. Like he looks like Ray Liotta.
And you probably don't know this, and he probably doesn't remember this, but I knew him or knew of him long before you, because he was at Chumley's wedding and I was at Chumley's wedding.
Yeah.
So we did not interact at all, but he was, there were a handful of rugby guys and he was one of them at the wedding. So that was long before I ever met you.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So another great walk down memory lane.
Well, there's a lot of Super League stories for the fans who requested them.
Yes.
And we'll have more coming up.
Yes. We will see you next time on Love and Rugby. Boston Rugby Club is always looking for new players and fans. So whether you're new to rugby and looking for a place to start, or a seasoned player looking for a new club, check them out at www.brfc.org or find them on Facebook and Instagram. Love and Rugby is hosted, edited, produced, and conceived by Sasheen Dampier and Dave Prell. Our theme song is written and produced by Sean Dampier. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. This has been Love and Rugby.